Colin, come on up. We'd like to have you spend a little time and share with us.
All right. You want to stand or sit?
Have a seat.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Colin.
First off, I want to thank everybody for inviting me here. It's a big deal. Especially, I'm kind of starting to put together the pieces here that... So the College Trades Program is kind of this group that does it, or what?
Well, it's now a nonprofit, but yes, it all started with Dennis, and when he was helping with Strengthening Families, and he came and said, he said, I can train some of these people to weld and have a good living. And from there, I'll share a little more of that story in a minute, but from there, we launched the program.
Okay, well, I guess I'll pick up where she left off about, you know, she told me about the good part of my past. I have a really good family, really good childhood, in my opinion. I've lived here in Kansas City, in Johnson County, pretty much my whole life. I grew up going to church all the time, had a really good childhood and everything. When I was maybe about 13 or 14, it's kind of hard to talk about or put my finger on like what happened, what made me started changing or whatever. So I don't necessarily like get into that, but I started changing and heading down the wrong path, I guess you could say, and things happened really fast. And when I was 17. I was arrested for the first time, and they let those charges sit for 2 years and then charged me with them when I was 19 as an adult, and I was sentenced to 4 years in prison. And that's how my adult life started, pretty much. It was for a distribution of narcotics. I was dealing drugs. I was doing a lot more things than that. That's why I got caught doing. I had zero connection with my family anymore. At the time, I blamed my parents for the distance that was there, you know, like a selfish, immature person would do. In reality, I've come to realize that I put my parents in such a horrible position, because what are you going to do? How can you help your child? Any help that you give them, you're enabling them. They would have been enabling me. I wasn't going to change, you know? So I think back of what I put them through is terrible, but I went and I did this time and came out way worse than when I went in, probably. But the big thing I wanted to hit here is the big difference that you guys are making in people's lives, for real, because the first time I went to jail, it was my fault. I was doing a lot of wrong things, and I'm not going to try and say that, oh, I didn't know any better or whatever. I was just doing wrong, and I lost my way. Every time I went to jail after that, it's because when you get out, they give you $40 and send you to the bus station on 13th and Troost and say, here you go, here's how you start your life. And a lot of people don't know that, but the recidivism, people go back after they've gone in once, and people think that it's, well, it's because they didn't change their lifestyle. A lot of times, these people don't have a choice. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, but people need, more than anything, they need this program. And if you have any questions at all, whether it's making a difference in people's lives, I'm here to tell you it is, you guys. I can't even begin to explain to you the difference that it's made in my life, okay? I'm a four-time felon. I've spent probably 10 out of the last 12 years in jail or in prison or locked up in some way. It had become normal to me. And in a sick way, it was like I almost preferred it. Well, I put it to you like this way. The last time I got arrested, I don't even say I got arrested. I got rescued. My life was better in there than it was out here. The last time I got arrested was because I had broken into someone's car to sleep for the night because it was raining outside. I was homeless. I was strung out. I didn't have a car. I didn't have any family that spoke to me. And I was barely making it to my PO meetings, you know, and I got arrested while on felony probation. And at this point, I had just pretty much given up. I knew I was going back to prison for the fifth time or whatever, and you know, I was going to be gone for a long time. And my probation officer showed up to my court and said that for some reason she saw hope in me or potential or whatever and wanted to give me one last shot at rehab. And at the time, I remember saying, I don't want to do rehab. I don't want to do it again. My choices were like 6 months in the TC or whatever, or like 5 years in prison, and I said, send me to prison. If you can believe that, because I was used to it. That's where my friends are at. That's what I know now. You know what I'm saying? I think what it came down to was that I took the realest love that I've ever known, that I ever will know, which is the love of my family, man. And I realize that now there's nothing more real in this world than your family's love for you. And I threw that away and was looking for love where there was none to be found. You know what I mean? And I think maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But I had an epiphany, I guess is what you could call it. And I don't know how it happened. Like I said, I spent all this time behind bars, and so I know it wasn't just being in jail. That wasn't changing me. But just kind of seemed like all of a sudden I woke up and things were different. I started thinking, you know, maybe I should take this chance to change or do this rehab or whatever. And I started thinking about my relationship with my parents and how it had been me that pushed them away. And somehow realizes that, you know, your perception is your reality in a lot of ways. So if you change your thinking, everything externally changes. And I think that's something that happened to me, where just how I thought about everything changed. So all of a sudden, like, everything in my outside world was different. And I was no longer blaming this circumstance or that person for why I was here. You know what I mean? I was here because of the choices that I made and was continuing to make. So that was a big step for me. And I made the decision to go to TC, which was a huge decision. And while I was there, they pulled us into a room and told us that they were doing a College of Trades program. And immediately I thought, this is my way out, because I was, you know, 28 or 29 years old at this point, and I was having these thoughts of like, this is the point where I have to make this decision right now. I'm either going to die or be in a cell for the rest of my life, or I'm going to make it. This is my way out. You know, I'm not, this is, my ship has sailed, you know? So, you know, we had all the choices between the food service industry, the forklift, the welding, and all of those are great things. For me personally, though, I felt like welding was more of a career lifelong thing than the other thing. So that's why I chose. I remember going to the interview, and I did so bad on the interview, you guys. I felt like, at least, Dennis was like, are you supposed to be there 15 minutes early or on time or 15 minutes late or something like that? And I was like, on time, you're on time. And he was like, no, you're supposed to be 15 minutes early. And I remember I went back, and one of the other guys that was in the interview with me was in my room with me at the place. So I went back from the interview, and he was like, how did your interview go? And I was like, they're not going to pick me. I did so bad. I told them you're supposed to be on time and you're supposed to be 15 minutes early. What was I thinking, you know? I thought they weren't going to pick me, but they did. And I was really, really excited about it, you guys. I did really well in the class. And I think the reason for that is because a lot of people, I think for them, it was just something to do to pass the time. You know, you're stuck in there and you're bored. And so a lot of people took the programs, I think, just for something to do. But a lot of people see that program, like I did, as this is my way out of this lifestyle and this life. And so I took it very seriously. And I studied really hard. I asked a lot of questions. I put in a lot of effort. And it paid off for me. I was chose to continue on doing one-on-one lessons after the class had ended. Whoever is like first in the class will be picked to go on and learn more advanced types of welding and stuff like that. That ended up being me. And I think it's important to say that as all this is going on, my parents, who, I mean, I had done years and years and years in jail without letters or really speaking with them very much. And my mom came up to see me. It was shortly after I had gotten put into the welding program. And I was nervous, man, nervous, because I hadn't even sent them my information to let them know I was locked up again, because that's how disconnected we were. And I was tired of calling my mom from a jail phone, you know what I mean? So I just said, well, I won't even let them know anymore, you know? And so there were their names on the registry for they were coming this weekend, and I was so nervous. And they came, and I was just honest with my mom about, you know, where I was at and what I was doing. And then the very next weekend, my dad came to see me, and he gave me some money, which was weird because my parents don't give me money, you know what I mean? And especially, my dad had been known to, like, slide it on the side, but, like, don't let mom know type of thing. But that had even stopped a long time ago, you know? So he gave me this money, and I kind of was under the impression, like, okay, we won't tell mom about this. But he said, this is from your mother, which was very strange. And so he kind of looked at me, and I was given the, like, what do you mean face. And he said, I don't know what happened when you had your visit with her or whatever, but she came out of the visit and immediately said, I don't know what it is, but he's changed. He's different. And so I think even then at that point, you know what I mean, that my mom had known that everything was going to be different even before it was, you know. So anyway, graduated the program, got out of TC. I was actually one of the first people to skip through. I was kind of fast-tracked out of TC and let out early because of how good I was doing or whatever. I immediately got a job when I got out. I immediately got into an Oxford house. It wasn't a couple months later I had saved up and had a car. I had, man, everything is different now. Everything is different. I have a really good relationship with my parents. I see them all the time. My little brother's getting married, and that was such a huge thing. My little brother waited this long. He's been with his girlfriend for 8-10 years or something like that, since high school. He's waited for this, for me to get out, and for him to know that I'm going to stay out for him to marry this girl. It's a big thing, you know? It's an amazing thing. And like, Dennis and this program saved my life. There is no doubt in my mind about it. I mean, obviously, you know, I had to put in the work too. But the resources that were made available to me while I was locked up this last time made the difference between me getting out and doing what I've done this time and doing what I did every time before that, you know? And today I can tell you that, like, I have no fear of going back to jail anymore. I have no, I just have hope. Is what it is. When I first got into the TC program, my counselor asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 or 10 years? And I could not answer that question. Or I could, but I didn't want to. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't very pretty. But now, the sky's the limit, I feel like. Now it's kind of, I can't tell you where I'm going to be in 5 or 10 years, but it's the opposite. It's because I can't tell you. It's going to be good. I know that. You know? So that's kind of my story. And I really, really... I had to tell you guys, I've been thinking a lot about, I mean, I don't know how long it will be before I'm allowed to, show my face in the correctional facility again, you know, without being in handcuffs or whatever, but I can tell you this, that, this program has changed me in my personal life, but also it's made me want to make a difference where, man, I really strongly feel like, later on in life, once I'm a little bit more settled, that it's going to be my responsibility to pay this back, because I really want to help out people that were in my position. That's what I want to do, you know? I really want to try and give, maybe not necessarily with welding, but any kind of training that you can give these people. And there's going to be people that are going to use it, and there's going to be people that aren't, you know what I mean? But it is so worth it. It's so worth it, because this is how I feel is, one person, me sitting here right now, makes this program worth it.
Amen to that.
So, I love you guys. Thank you so much for inviting me out here. And you're making a big difference. You are. You made a big difference. You saved my life. So thank you.
Everybody in that program needs to hear Colin's story, don't you think?
That helps. You'll cut it out later.
So, I appreciate you sharing your story. In similar fashion, I wish Bradley were here to share his own. He, like Colin, has been addicted to drugs for a long time, and Bradley's been out for, I think he's coming up on almost 6 months. He's not off probation yet. He has worked at Houlihan's since before he was released. So I guess he's been out of therapeutic community for about 6 months. So he's been about 3 months at the residential center and now 3 months in the community. And so in those 6 months, he's worked at Houlihan's and has moved from being just in doing dishes to being a line cook to now the soft chef. And they've given him a choice. If he wants, he can go ahead and move up to the grill. And once you start cooking the expensive protein, they want you to know what you're doing. And so he's doing well. He and I just hung out last week, and we went over this place, Horizon Darts. He loves to throw darts. And that was something that he just absolutely enjoyed doing. And so they've got a dart board in their Oxford house. And he hasn't had darts in forever. He just throws whatever's down there. And so we went to Horizon Darts, and he was able to spend a little of his hard-earned money on some custom darts, and we had a blast going up and doing that. But he is also one of those who has really continued to move ahead and work on both his sobriety but also his employment. His dream, you know, you talk about, Colin, you talk about giving back. His dream is at some point he wants to kind of wrap up working in a professional kitchen for somebody else. He has always wanted to start his own food truck. And he doesn't know what the theme should be yet, but now he's at that point where he's starting to get an idea of what that would look like. And so that's one of those places, somebody like that, and that's kind of a trending thing in Kansas City right now. Lots of people starting food trucks, but it's something that could either give him a great weekend job and a great hobby that just keeps him from doing things that he shouldn't be doing, or it could be one of those things that turns into his own place to actually earn a living. So you'll get a chance to meet Bradley. He still wants to come by church and share his story. He just, because the way the restaurant industry is, today's a busy day, and they said, you can't have it off. And so, fair enough. I figured I would share with you. So if you aren't aware of this, Wednesday was Johnson County's all staff Johnson County meeting, and I say all staff, it's kind of department heads and executive leadership in Johnson County, and the Board of County Commissioners have the State of County Address. And so in the State of County Address, Commissioner Ed Eilert mentioned Cultivate and mentioned the College of Trades as one of the great examples of partnerships that have occurred in the county that are really supporting folks that are at risk. And he mentioned that it was a great opportunity to be mentioned. And when I heard that we were going to be mentioned, I reached out to Maury Thompson, who's the county manager. And Maury and I have been on several boards together. And I asked him, can we come and present at a Board of County Commissioners meeting at some point? I'd like them to actually meet people like Dennis, like our life skills instructors. And so he put us in touch. We're going to work with Robert Sullivan and actually do that sometime in the future. But then he also said, you know, is there anywhere else you want to present? So I said, yeah, we'd like to also present at the Criminal Justice Advisory Council. I'm on that council, and so I've asked to be able to present there. And then Rodney Weber, who is over the program at the Residential Center, reached out to the Community Corrections Advisory Board. This is the board that approves the county budget for community corrections. It's a board that's comprised of people from the community, attorneys, judges, county commissioners, and correction staff, mental health staff, and I think they have a couple other folks that are there. But this whole board is the board that approves the county budget for corrections. And so next Thursday, Rodney got us on the schedule next Thursday. So late last week, we started putting together a PowerPoint. And I just finished it up early this morning when I got in the office. I had a few more pictures to add. But I figured I would go through that briefly. I'm not going to spend a long time, but we have about 30 minutes at this meeting. But I thought I would share with you what we're going to talk about when we get to the Board of County Commission meeting. So we're going to start with just a little bit of background on what the College of Trades was. We're going to talk about that it started with Dennis Wright and Wright Welding, and that started back in 2012. Was when we started talking about it. 2013 was when we actually got permission from the county, and I think it was late in 2013 that we did our first class. And so that's when we started the first welding program, was in 2013. It took us almost a year to find a place that we could weld. And finally, we were directed to go talk to Todd Rue at the county maintenance shop, and Dennis was able to do a little swap. You know, if you'll let us weld here, I can provide some training. And Todd took us up on the offer, and we haven't looked back since. In addition to that, In addition to that, 2016, corrections came to us and asked if we would add some things. The welding was going well, but they wanted to add some things, and they wanted to add culinary. Because at that point, that the vast majority of people that were working or that were in corrections, that were housed there, were working in McDonald's, fast food, Sonic, all of that. No opportunity for advancement, no opportunity for a livable wage, no real career track there. Corrections realized that needed to change, and they wanted it to change, but in order to do that, they recognized they needed training. Today, less than 5% of the people that are at corrections work for a place like McDonald's. Almost all of those who work in the culinary industry work at Applebee's or above. And I'm talking Applebee's, Cheesecake Factory, Houlihan's, Gordon Biersch, what's that? Maziano's. Those are the places where people are getting employed. And if you don't know, Applebee's and all of those places, they have retirement. They have, you can try and get into healthcare, and they will employ people full time. So those are the kinds of restaurants that we want to see people in. So we started doing the culinary training. At that, we began to partner with Episcopal Community Services at the time, and now we have co-authored our own curriculum. And this is the curriculum for life skills that we use. We've actually had this printed. We use this curriculum for life skills. And it's a combination of offender workforce development specialist stuff that I've been trained on, and Linda Kozacek, who's our life skills instructor, and what Catalyst Kitchens had as a core. So then finally, in 2000, so by the way, certificate tracks include, we have forklift, welding, culinary, we've done A+, TIA A+, is entry level networking. We have done, we have had students go through CDL training. We have had students who've gone through the what's the blueprint class, Dennis, that they have at the community college?
Welding and blueprint.
Now, this is to be announced, but our hope is in on Tuesday, the foundation and the director of continuing ed for Johnson County Community College are going to finalize the plans before the board of the community college. And if everything goes through, after Tuesday, we will have a $25,000 pool of money that Cultivate will be able to draw on to continue to do, to scholarship students to go through classes. So we have on the books for the summer of 2019 and through 2020, we have on the books an OSHA 10 class. We have on the books an industrial mechanics class so that we can start training people how to use hydraulics. So we also have on the books a new culinary class, because our culinary instructors, they're a nonprofit too, and when their funding dropped, they had to drop our program.
No bad feelings. It's just their funding dropped and they had to drop a program, and we were one of them. So we have culinary that we're adding back in also. So add that to welding, forklift, add that to TIA A+, and at $25,000, by the time we get done, we will have about $10,000 that we'll be able to invest in individual scholarships and also be able to invest in innovative programs. So one of the innovative programs we're looking at is web design and web development and the graphic design that goes with that. Not everybody can do what Colin did, which is that physical work. So we're trying to find some alternatives that have to do other than just labor jobs. So that's a little bit about the program. Our community partners are Cultivates, the nonprofit, and then Mentoring 2-6-L provides us mentoring. Dennis is, and Wright Welding is his company, and they provide welding training. Johnson County Community College, the county facilities. We have Kansas City, Kansas Community College. The Johnson County Library now is coming out to do strength finders for us, and we're doing that with a grant. So when you went through, we just talked about who are your superheroes and how to be a superhero. Now we actually use the Clifton Strength Finders, which is an industry-recognized strengths assessment so that they can start taking some of those words into their industry. And then we also have the Culinary with Nourish KC. So other things, volunteer basis, we have our life skills instructors. I think I've mentioned these two to you. Linda is formerly with Johnson County Adult Ed, and Jerry loves to tell people he is retired FBI. Jerry's claim to fame is he was over the New York office during 9/11. And so Jerry was trained as an FBI profiler, and he was trained in counterterrorism. So when 9/11 happened, Jerry was over that office and working the counterintelligence and the profiling of those who were involved. And of course, the minute he says that, all the people in the room, their eyes go way up. Like, you know, Jerry says it all the time in class. I already profiled you. I already know who's in here going to make it and who's not. Go ahead. So this is the volunteer hours, by the way. Aaron Mater puts this together because we all sign in as volunteers. 645 hours worth of volunteer hours in the last year alone. And that's if you take, and this is actually a national statistic, that those who coordinate volunteers put a value on the time that volunteers give. And that is $24.69 an hour. And if you know much about that, that's kind of one of those wage. You know, some people, like Dennis, their volunteer per hour is substantially higher than that. But some people who are, and Jerry Rose's would be substantially higher than that. But then we have other people who, like me, haven't been trained in the industry. I don't have a specific skill, but I teach life skills. This is probably about what my dollar per hour would be. So $15,000 worth of time given to the county in this last year just by volunteers. So the College of Trades are our employers. This is a list, and we wanted people to see this. This is a list of the quality of employers that we're working with. And this is just part of the list. There are a lot of other employers that work with us, and one of the things we ask our employers to do is give our folks a Monday off. Because if they give them a Monday off, it lets them take their life skills, and then they can actually spend time in their small group on Monday. So the selection process, we've talked about this. It's if they are unemployed, they're eligible. If they're at the center, they're eligible. If they're on probation or parole. We've actually had two people who were on parole who weren't at the residential center who applied to get into the College of Trades, and one of them did and completed it. But we haven't had a lot of those folks, primarily because we're so far out in Gardner. But it doesn't matter. As long as you're on paper, between federal, state, or local, you can be in the program. And that's been also another unique thing. Johnson County has opened the doors. Usually, you don't bring other populations into your population. But because the College of Trades has such great instructors, it's got great boundaries, we're able to do that. Then once the applications are received, they apply. The applicants, like Colin said, everybody interviews. every single one of them interview with either the instructor or one of the resource developers if the instructor can't be out there for the interview time. And then they apply, and it is selective admission. There have been some who don't get into the program at all. So after they're completed, they get the certificate. Students are paired with a mentor, and then they're employed in the field of their certification. Hit again. And then these are some of the pictures. We talk about graduation. We have a graduation, and the culinary students do actually, that's one of their capstone projects, is they do prep meal for the graduation, and they love getting to do that. That's a big deal. Another thing I'll note as you're looking through, they all get a certificate for graduating. These are the photography groups, students. And I forgot to mention that we have the College of Arts too. Every culinary student gets a knife set that they can't take with them. They have to get it after they're released. And then there's a group of all the people in there that come in for graduation. And I always appreciate that Paul's there for every graduation. And he interviews, but he's there for every graduation just to be a part of encouraging those who've graduated. And there's one of the classes. This was, I think, our summer class for the College of Trades. So a couple things, if you'd hit one more, a couple things you want to know. So this is just the graphic of how that partnership works, just the people working together on that. So this is national statistics, recidivism rate, 2.3 million Americans are incarcerated, 1 in 3 adults have a criminal record. That means, I mean, if you think about it, think of the number in this room, that means that many people have a criminal record in this room. Then, in addition to that, the single most important predictor of recidivism is joblessness. Without a job, we should expect and will expect that the vast majority of those people will go back in. Most people who are released can't find a job within a year. One of the guys on our board, Johnny Waller, will talk about when he was released from state penitentiary, he started trying to get a job. He put in 165 applications and got 165 no's and finally got fed up with it and started cleaning office complexes on his own as a little business. And nobody did a background check on the business. And so he was able to start cleaning office complexes, started his own business, ended up selling that. And then he now works primarily in the nonprofit world and works a lot with the Second Chance program in Kansas City, helping to change some of the fair hiring practices around people who have had felonies. So for us, 187 people have applied to the program over the last several years. We are missing probably the first 2 or 3 welding programs. We've gone back, we see the pictures, nobody can remember all their names. So we're missing a handful of folks, but since we started keeping records, because then we weren't even keeping records. We were just like, this is great, we got an opportunity.
I've got all their names.
You do? Well, then
if you give them a certificate, you never have their names.
Well, Gully did. So, okay. Send me that, would you, Dennis? Because then
I'll make you a list.
Okay, that's all I need. Just make me a list and we'll update the spreadsheet. 187 have applied. 130 were referred to the program. 90 students, roughly 90, have successfully completed. 90 days out. Now, right now we're tracking 90 days because it's been a little less than 2 years that we've actually started tracking the data. And 100% of our folks, except for this last class, have made 90 days out. So 90 days out, we have 78% of the students are still employed. 81% are at the same employer. How long did you stay with the same employer when you were on the street?
Before the program, I never had a job or a bank account.
Okay. So Colin never had a job or a bank account. Bradley will tell you that the most he stayed was 30 days at a job. That was the most he stayed. Most of them were long enough to get the paycheck and then he would be gone. And then he would go to another employer, get a paycheck, and then he would be gone. And so, and that wasn't temp work. That was actually getting hired at a place, and then he'd be gone. So 93% of those who graduate are still in the same field. If they're working, they're still in the same field. So then we're just going to go through some program recognitions. We've had multiple highlights. We've been in multiple publications, welding journals, My seminary did a story on the project. We've been in the Johnson County. Dennis was in, what was that, Best Times? Best Times, which totally sounds like High Times. Every time I say it, I'm thinking, this is not the best title for a magazine. But Best Times, it's a seniors magazine in Johnson County. Dennis was highlighted in there. And so we've had multiple recognitions for the program. And then that's where we end. That's where we end. We ended there. I ended there because this is one of the other one is when.
Is that my mom with my welding helmet on?
That is exactly who that is. But I figured she could remain anonymous.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore. One of the things that happened, and one of the reasons I chose this picture is there's two pictures that are my favorite from all the College of Trades, and I'm going to tell one quick story on Colin. First picture is the one where he's getting his scholarship from Kate Allen. And that was a huge deal. And it validated him, but it also was a big deal because that was the very first scholarship we handed out through Johnson County. But the second one is this picture. And the reason is this. It's the joy on his face. It is the joy on his face. He is, you can tell, he is experiencing new life.
So, on the video that you showed, where Colin was, had a chance to speak, and the other person that had a chance to speak was the woman, Angela. And that video, every time I see that video, it makes me laugh. Because when we saw Angela the first time, when Dennis and I were interviewing her, she had no hope. There was complete darkness. If you were to talk about an aura or whatever, I mean, her whole aspect was, or her affect was, this is the end. That was the way she was. And when I see that video where she opens her mouth and is laughing out loud, This is a person whose whole life is different now. And I mean, it's, every time I see that, it makes me laugh. And It really touches me because what we saw was not that.
Right.
And what we now see is completely different.
Completely different. Yes.
It is. I cannot express enough, for real, how important this program is. I cannot express that enough, how much you're changing people's lives.
Well, we're partnering to change people's lives because somebody has to sign up. Because it's a selective admission process, you had the willingness, and you say it in the video, look, I'm in here, I might as well take advantage of something. And you did. You took advantage of it. And that's what the program is about. It's that kind of partnership where people say, I'm going to take advantage, I'm going to take a shot. Not everybody is that way. Some people really just want to have something to do. Some people really want to figure out if this is their opportunity to change. So I don't know if you remember this, but the very, very first day of class, you walked in, and I immediately recognized you.
Yeah, I figured you did.
But
I tried to keep a low profile, though, because I was like, I was such a bad kid.
He says that,
but... But, well, you weren't really a bad kid in youth group, but I recognized you immediately. But I never said anything, and in part because... I've just learned that some people don't want me to know or don't want them to be recognized. They just don't want that. I've seen people out in the community multiple times. I've seen people out in the community who've graduated from one of the programs. One time, she even put on her sunglasses and put her bill of her hat down a little lower because she knew I saw her. But I never say a word. Other times, people will come up to me. Dan Nelson's one of them. He was in one of our early strengthening families. He just emailed me the other day. He's a tool and die maker now. Just emailed me the other day, and he said, I think I need to start helping with Cultivate and just with strengthening families and just find a way to give back. He said his son just enlisted and was just shipped out in, I think he went into the Army. And his son was there. And he really is, Dan has made a big difference in his son's life over the last several years being sober. Paul?
Yeah, the other thing I was going to mention was that one of the things that Colin said was, even if it was just me that was saved in this thing, it would be worth it. And that is absolutely what Christ would say.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just you, I would do it. And I mean that. It's just fascinating to me how this just kind of all rolls right back into what Christ has done. And our response should be the same as Colin's, which is, I want to give back. I want other people to find out what it means to have this kind of hope in life. That's what our response should be. Same as Colin's.
Well, the dream was always to have a church that did it, and now you've had an opportunity to see ways that we actually do that. And so I'm encouraged by that. Bill?
One thing, if you are not on the Cultivate Facebook page, if you're on Facebook, get on it. Got this invite, you know, like this page, and I did. And it's like something else to clog up my feed. But I looked at it, and, you know, it's very informative. I mean, it keeps you almost on a daily basis informed of what things are doing, fundraisers and just different things. And, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, now I fully understand what Cultivate is. So, just, you know. And there's some other stuff called Cultivate, too. I mean, I've noticed, because it pops up, you know, Cultivate, and it's different places and different things, but this, you know, it's obvious.
In Kansas City, Cultivate KC was the other one that was kind of emerging at the same time we were, and they're organic gardening and, you know, food and everything else for the area. So it just happened that way. But in Johnson County, it's not Cultivate KC, it's this Cultivate.
Lee, can I make a comment about...
Yeah.
Okay, so... So this is a really, like, having Colin come and share, this moment in the life of our church is really helpful in helping solidify our identity as Christ the Servant. When I mention the growing, I know we're going long.
No, that's okay.
When I talk about the growing pains of Christ the Servant, when we started as a church, we started as... Lee, we always knew Lee as having a passion for people who are hurting. And we knew that there were areas in the community where there were hurting people who were not being reached. And we knew that we wanted to do something about it. And we didn't know how, and we didn't know what, and we didn't know where. We just knew that's what we wanted to do. And throughout the life of our church, there were people who were saying, what are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Because we didn't really know, and that was really uncomfortable for them. And as we continued to grow and continued to clarify, there were people who would leave the church saying, other churches are doing these things. Other churches are mission-oriented and mission-focused, and they have this program and this program and this program. Well, if what we were doing wasn't important, then Colin wouldn't have needed Dennis. Colin would have had other opportunities that other churches would have been knocking down his cell door trying to give him. The fact that we as a church have recognized that we want our pastor to be missionally engaged with Department of Corrections and with things in the city that have no Christian affiliation, that we want to go where there's all these other churches that have this mentality of you have to be doing something that's explicitly Christian in order for us to partner with you. Well, missing out on a huge part of need where God is calling the church to be. So we as a church have said, we want to support these connections that you want to make. We want to support your desire to go and go where the name of Christ is not being broadcasted. That is part of who we are as a church. We support Lee as a bivocational pastor. We come here to a house on Sunday morning and say, this is cool. We're fine with it. It's good. We want to hear about what Lee's doing because we believe in what he's doing, and we believe in reaching people who are like in Colin's situation or Angela's situation where they have no hope, and we want to be their hope. So I'm being really emphatic about it because as we have grown as a church, that has been really hard for people to understand what are we about and why do we look so different. This is why we look different. This is why we do what we do, and this is why we support what Lee is doing, and I'm just super excited about it.
Anybody else?
Oh, it's okay. I saw Lee when he came.
Yeah, Rayburn can tell you some stories about my wayward days. Okay.
Well, we're going to pizza shop after this. We got plenty of time.
You're sitting at a different table. All right. Let's give thanks, and we will go ahead and pray also for lunch that's about to happen, and then we will head over. I'm going to see. You want to head over first? You've called them. You want to head over?
Oh, if I have to. I'll bear that burden.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the joy of being called to serve. Thank you for the joy of even just a little bit of experiencing the joy that you have when those children you've created are healed from their addictions, when their lives are filled again with joy and hope. Thank you, Lord, that we get to share in that work with you. Now we just ask you for a season of more of you, more of our relationship with you, and more opportunities to serve with you and to serve you. Bless the meal and the conversation that we are about to have in Christ's name. Amen. So it hit me as I'm praying. This is an incredible moment because this whole journey started with Brothers in Blue coming that first Sunday that Dennis and Carol came and we ate pizza together right after. And here we are coming full circle, and Dennis and Carol, that was a moment that was a beginning. And that moment has come to maturity, and now we'll see what the next season is. But all of a sudden I'm realizing it all started with some offenders who came and presented and eating pizza. And now we're going to go do it again. Amen.